Hello, you're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. This is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. Thanks for tuning in. We have a very excellent show for you tonight. Starting off live in studio, we have an in-studio lounge performance from Aster Dawn.
Thank you.
Estradon, live on Thunderbird Radio Hell. You're listening to CITR Radio, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. Do not go anywhere. Estradon will be joining me in the studio to chat about everything very shortly. Once again, this is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell, as I'm trying to load a little PSA here.
It's summer in Vancouver and the days are heating up. It's important to drink water and take steps to protect your health. You can cool down at a misting station with downtown locations such as Oppenheimer Park, Pigeon Park, Victory Square, and Cathedral Square, as well as cooling centers which include Coal Harbor Community Center, Carnegie Community Center, and Evelyn Sadler Center. To find more locations, search cooling centers in your browser, and Vancouver.ca has spaces with air-conditioned seating, water, and access to washrooms available all around the city. Stay cool and stay safe.
From 1951 to 1992, First Nation and Inuit children were placed in non-Indigenous communities to live in private homes to attend school. If you or someone you know participated in this program, compensation may be available. For details, please visit boardinghomesclassaction.com or call 1-888-499-1144 for details on eligibility, support, or opting out.
For people with physical disabilities, Vancouver is supposed to be one of Canada's most accessible cities. But who really gets to decide what makes it accessible? And whose version of accessible is it? These and other questions are at the heart of Disability Tour Bus, a radio play by Vancouver's Real Wheels Theatre. With humor, edge, and a cast of colorful characters, Disability Tour Bus asks what happens when one of Canada's most accessible cities gets in your way. Join Real Wheels as they launch this play as a podcast on July 24th and be part of the conversation. Visit realwheels.ca, that's realwheels.ca, for more information.
Young Agrarians is the largest educational resource network for new and young ecological farmers in Canada, with a long-term goal to stop farm loss and ensure future generations can farm. YA offers farmer-to-farmer programming to grow the next generation of food growers by creating access to community, education, on-farm training, land, business mentorship, and other resources. Join our network by checking out youngagrarians.org. That's youngagrarians.org. Together, let's grow the next generation of viable and ecological farmers on Turtle Island.
Are you interested in being advertised on the radio? CITR radio station broadcasts across 6,000 square kilometers, which means our airwaves reach 3 million folks across the land. From Point Grey Peninsula to Fraser Valley and as far north as Gibson's and Coquitlam Mountain. To find out how you can be advertising with CITR, contact advertising@citr.ca. advertising@citr.ca. Rates start at $100. Strut your stuff and do it with CITR today. Are you interested in being advertised in Discorder magazine? Discorder magazine can be found in 32 locations and counting across Vancouver from UBC to New Westminster. You could be featured in cultural and community hubs across the Lower Mainland. To find out how you can be featured in Discorder magazine, contact advertising@citr.ca. advertising@citr.ca. Rates start at $150. Ride with Discorder Magazine and we'll take you all the way.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there. Supplies for hormone injections and safer substance use are now available for free from AMS SASC and peer support. Folks can order supplies online or drop by during office hours to access these resources. Confidential forms and additional information can be found on their website, www.amssasc.ca, or you can drop by either office located on the third floor of the Nest. This initiative is part of the SASC and peer support's commitment to providing equitable access to harm reduction supplies and can be accessed by anyone in the community. I'ma keep on talking about it
because it's true for me. Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today. Launched in December 2023, Connect Afrobeats is an innovative online platform with a dedicated mission to foster a vibrant community for Afrobeats and Afro-inspired talents across the entire value chain. Join Connect Afrobeats today to connect with verified global Afrobeats talents, collaborate with fellow artists, and engage in meaningful discussions. Whether you're an artist, writer, talent manager, road manager, A&R, promoter, distributor, or publisher, this is your platform to network, find talents, form partnerships, and teams. Connect Afrobeats is gearing up to launch music camps in summer of 2024. So what are you waiting for? Amplify your presence in the vibrant world of Afrobeats and sign up now. Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Guitari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out @DuneAsDune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
You're listening to CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. I am in the studio with Astrid Dawn, who just played live on the air moments ago. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. That sounded great.
Oh my God, thanks for having us.
Can we maybe start off with a bit about how this project came to be, and then maybe we'll talk about how, Shami, you've been on the show in the past a few times. I counted three, but that's okay. just things I have photos of. I don't remember things anymore, maybe more.
I know, I guess we've been at this for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The band X Softus last played in February 2020, and that was obviously the last gig for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I started, I had actually bought some synthesizers and gear like that, a drum machine in 2017 to 2018. And so I was starting to put that together. But it was Tommy Tone who actually helped me with the workflow. Yeah. Do you know what the...
I have an idea about what, like, how does... Maybe explain to...
Well, I had to... I guess when I started making music, it was on a Tascam Porta studio with cassette tapes. So I had to figure out, like, I I got a copy of Reaper. That's free.
Right.
And I had to start figuring out how to...
It's pretty complicated.
It is. And getting... Because I wanted to do this project with gear rather than, you know, all, say, in Ableton or something like that. So I had to figure out how to get that all working together. And thanks to Tommy, we had a few different sessions. And we got it flowing. So
with gear, you were saying with gear. So did you always have playing live shows in mind?
Oh yeah. Great question. I started right away. So anything I started recording, any beats, I would take down to have a rehearsal space at Main and Hastings area, and I would take it down there and just start blasting those beats through the PA in there. And there's a sub there, which is nice. And yeah, I started really tweaking things with the intention of playing live from the very beginning. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and this is this is a little bit different from Soft Disc.
Well, that's interesting. A little bit. Yeah, I think it is. Well, I think it is. Yeah. I started actually writing this, like, once I had the setup figured out in the flow that I wanted, I started writing songs on guitar, and it was not enough of a departure that I was kind of hoping for. So I switched to writing beats and keyboard synth lines first. And then that got the kind of desired distance from previous things. But no, I think it's still, it's definitely me there. So you can try to get as far away from who you are if you want to try that, but who's successful at that, Ben?
And when did Amanda join or started playing with the live? How did this happen?
As you were talking, I was trying to remember when you asked me to play for your record release, and I want to say it was sometime in the spring, like maybe April, something like that. And so Shammy asked if I wanted to play the record release, which we just played on the last Saturday. And I used to be a drummer and am currently not a drummer, so just the idea of playing drums again was kind of fun and exciting for me, so I agreed. And so here we are.
Did you miss playing the drums a bit, or here and there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's things that I like about playing drums. There's things that I like about playing bass. And I find whenever I am on one or the other, I'm like, actually, this is my favorite instrument to play. I really do enjoy playing the bass, but it is nice to play drums again. Although it was funny because there are things, like, it's been so long, about 2 years since I've last played drums. And so even just tonight doing sound check, Jay was asking me to... like, okay, now play the entire kit. And I had a brief moment of like, how do I do that again? So there's lots of, 2 years off the drums, there's lots of things I've forgotten.
Drum is tricky. I don't know. I don't know anything about, I mean, how often do I go on Wikipedia and look up like drum kit? Like, what are the parts called?
Oh, yeah.
Constant. I don't remember.
Yeah, like, I'm missing a thing.
I know.
And I don't know the name for it. You're in Long and McQuaid, like, trying to figure out what you need.
And there's like special names and stuff. And
Shammy,
would you always wanted live drums with this, or just something that you decided? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I have this belief that the more people join on, the easier it gets, you know. And
so are you saying this is the initial stages of a full?
Well, I wouldn't say it's not.
Okay.
However, you know, at this point, no, I think, you know, a few things. I thought of a few things when asking Amanda. You know, like, I remember, well, you know, seeing the Boredoms in 1999, actually. And, you know, they had three drummers and a percussionist. And I think I saw No Means No once with two drummers. So I don't think you can, you know, you can really you can't have enough beats, is my belief for sure. Yes.
You spent too much time on third beat during the drum circle night. You're like, you can't have too many drums.
And that's when I texted Amanda. I was like, I'm on third beat right now, and I've joined a drum circle. I didn't mean to, and we need to bring this, make this real. But I thought, you know, I've admired Amanda's work and art for a very long time, and I believed that, you know, our energies would be a real nice match and come together that way. So, and I think, I think that there's, you know, it definitely, I noticed with this show at the Lido too, all that energy kind of coming together, and just I could really lean into it with someone else there supporting me and and extra force.
Yeah.
So,
like having someone to share the stage, like
exactly.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not all eyes on you or something. A little bit of that, I don't know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, and also
or just having like a team. I don't know what's the word.
I think that, you know, there's like a momentum too that I was noticing at this recent show. You made me think of when I saw Cool Keith, and he stood at the back and just said a couple words for the whole show, and he had two bandmates doing all the words up front. And I've always thought of that, like, that's really the way to do it. Like, spread the work around and yeah.
Because you've done this as a solo project as well. Like, you, Shammy has played alone.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. The first show was April 1st last year at a hall in Chilliwack for a friend's birthday, which is why it came to be.
I got a text, like, from our friend Nikki.
Was oh, yeah. Like,
I saw Astrid
on in Chilliwack.
In Chilliwack.
Yep.
I was like, what?
Yeah. At the Odd Fellows Hall.
Oh, wait. Okay. Maybe do we?
Did you play an outdoor show in Chilliwack as well, like a park or something?
No,
a festival.
But they
thing?
Do have party in the park out there.
Okay.
But I didn't play that.
Okay,
we can play that.
Yeah, yeah, we could.
Odd Fellows Hall. I'm trying to. Is that like a club?
Or? Well, it's. I think Odd Fellows is. Yeah, it's like it's kind of one of those old clubs. Like, I wouldn't say it's as maybe tough as the Illuminati,
yeah.
But it might be more in the realm of like a maybe a Mason's Hall or something.
Well, when I was a kid, when I was in high school, like I got a like a scholarship award from like a Richmond. It's like not Oddfellows, but it's like something society or like benevolent gentle. Like it's a weird.
Oh, you know what? I think it is a benevolent society.
Yeah,
I think
like
that's
that,
part of the name. Yeah,
yeah.
Actually.
But I forgot the name now because I still remember. They basically gave me like $500 to work at my school, which is like pretty
good.
Oh,
that's so nice.
But then we got invited to dinner, so we have to go. It was me and someone else in class, and then we basically, went to basically a hall and sat with, it felt like a stone, you know, like stonemason. Like,
what did you do to get it? Like, what?
Just good, I think just good. I think it's like good grades, but I think there's like different tiers, and I was just good in, you know, like I think if you have like the best grade, you get like bigger. So I think it just filtered down to like.
Did they try to recruit you to the membership?
I think.
Are you actually now a member of the society?
Was it a pyramid scheme thing?
I'm trying. I can't remember the name. It's like I forgot what it is. Now I'm very curious because I do. I forgot. But it was lucky because like me and the other person that also got it. We both knew each other. So we went for like a dinner. But it was definitely feel like a dinner with like five or six tables of these people in like the Shiners. Feels like the Shiners.
Little,
I know. Yeah.
It feels they drove in those little cars. They circled around you.
It feels like closer to the like a bunch of like I would say. I mean, my memories are. It's like I feel like 90% just like old white guys.
Yeah.
So, well, there were a lot of old photos in that hall, and you're accurate with that with that memory. Yeah. I think that's like, and that was part of it. There were these, you know, 80-year-old photos of club members and stuff that on display in that hall.
And
there were these weird thrones, like around the room, like a throne, a carved wooden throne with gems.
Did you get to sit and play on it?
No, I did sit in one for sure.
Interesting. Nice. And is that the first live show you play since 2020 kind of thing?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah. So X Softus, I think, was it, maybe it was for the Toast fundraiser. That's my thinking. February 2020. Okay. And and then I did not practice or play music with anyone for a few years.
A lot of people didn't.
Till Amanda and I started. So,
Amanda, was it easy to pick up how do you fill in the drums and play your parts? Or
I mean, I definitely wasn't sure when I started what Shammy was looking for, just because there are backing tracks that do have beats in them. So when we started practicing, I was just sort of doing pretty simple stuff just to fill out the sound, and that is mostly what I stuck with. One of the things that was new for me, and I was not sure how it would go, was playing along to a backing track.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried it in the past, and it's not super easy, so I was a little bit nervous about it, but we definitely workshopped it. but Shammy was very super receptive, and it was really nice. Like, there were some songs where I was like, I keep losing the bass drum in this song. And so then you would come back the next practice with a reworked backing track that had the bass drum was much higher. So it was definitely like a collaborative thing.
And how long did the whole process? So you said in spring, so it's pretty, I mean, you know, it's barely summer.
You're right, it is barely summer. We have a lot of summer left.
And the Lido show was fantastic.
Thank you.
It was great. And In Mirrors was great.
Fantastic.
And Jesse said some really nice thing about you at the end. I don't know if you heard it.
I'm going red under the foundation here.
But yeah, it was good to see. It was a fun show. And compared to the hall in Chilliwack, it's a nice cozy room, the Lido. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I think it's great. Like, I played there a year ago. Joel Tong asked me to play for his album release show, and I loved it. Like, everyone's so great in there, and Gio's a lovely sound person, and I think it sounds really good in there. So when I was putting this release show together, then it was where I thought would be best to do it. I love it.
Let's talk a bit about the release.
It was a combination of a release show and a anniversary show. So that was to the week an anniversary of my first gig ever that I actually played with Barry in an old band that we had named after a Husker Du song called Flexible Flyer, after Grant Hart's song.
And where was that show?
That show, well, so at the top of the flyer for the Lido, it said End of the World 2. And that first show was called End of the World. And at the time, I had to do some research because I didn't have the flyer for that show. So I had to figure out when my first gig actually was. So I had an idea. I knew it was in the summer. I knew it was in July. And I was able to dig up some weekly papers that had been transferred to the internet talking about an event that was scheduled to happen. It wasn't I don't believe it was like kind of big mainstream news.
Yeah.
But the belief was, I think it, you know, maybe the Terminal City had written about it, but there was supposed to be a meteorite colliding with, I believe, Jupiter, and it was going to decimate the solar system, and we were all supposed to burn and die.
Right.
And so that event, that show, was called End of the World. And so we named our band after Husker Du, and we covered Schizophrenia by Sonic Youth and some Obnoxious Originals. And but the real thing there was we covered Husker Du's Divide and Conquer and just cleared the room because we shouldn't have been on the bill. Like that was an awful idea because the actual band who was putting it on, you know, they were... It was more of a loungy thing. Like they had double bass. They were drinking like red wine out of long stemmed glasses. And, you know, there was maybe some poetry or whatever. Like, and I love all of those things, but together is when you put those things together, that wasn't going to be working with what we were doing. So we cleared the room and that was the end of not only the end of the world, but the end of the night.
Right.
And so that's what this show was. It was to celebrate that. It was within a few days, the anniversary for that. And I mean, you know,
that's
maybe
great.
It's salient or sorry, maybe it's relevant now with a title like that. Maybe nobody really needs to know what the End of the World one was because here we are with number two.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also the release of my 7-inch 2 and remix tape.
So, two things that came out pretty with, well, not the same time, but very close.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks apart.
Two weeks apart. So, yeah, like the 7-inch with two songs in it when it's a cover. Yeah. But then, and then there's the song Sideways, and there's a cassette, a remix, and a bunch of different artists did a remix of it.
That's right.
Which is like pretty amazing. Devours, Ken Fattel, Calarissa, Mr. Merlot, Nervous Operator, and Tommy Tone. How did this come about?
Yeah, great question. I wanted to do this 7-inch and... You know, I thought, well, it's a single because that's what we call it. And I thought, well, you know, I enjoyed or maybe didn't enjoy. It's, you know, back in like the 80s, you'd get a cassette single or a maxi single, say, for Papa Don't Preach. And it would have like five versions of that.
Right.
So that was sort of the concept to do something that Madonna did, I guess. But yeah, I just wanted to have that be sort of reimagined or collaborate with these people that I respect and people that are producing electronic music.
Yeah, so. it's a good roster.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic roster, and it sounded super cool. I was listening to it earlier today and
very grateful for everyone's contribution. It was a lot of fun to put that together and I was really happy everyone helped out.
So. Yeah. How long did that take? People pretty much come back with songs pretty quick.
I think a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then got it mastered.
Yeah. So. Very, very, very nice.
Thank you, Ben.
Let's maybe talk about what's next on Horizon. You're playing Shamefest.
Yeah, Shamefest. This has been just an amazing experience to work with Shamefest and the organizers of Shamefest. I really like everything they're doing. I like their intention behind the festival. It's running August 1st to 5th. So I'll be playing with a band that from Berlin called Dim Things Collective, it was sort of framed that they would fit on a fake jazz bill sort of thing. And that's, you know, I guess in part why the curators put me on there and Nick Hughes Project Mascara, yeah. And then Felonious, her rap project. So at KW Studios.
Yeah, and that's on Sunday, August the 4th at KW Studios.
Yeah.
8 p.m. Yeah, it should be fun. But Streamfest starts on the 1st, goes till the 5th.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, so many good acts like TJ Felix and Heterosexuals and Special Interest. And yeah, it's a really fantastic, well-curated event.
Perfect. And now, I don't know if the last time, that's probably not happening when Soft was here. I don't think we played games.
I don't remember the games, yeah.
But, I mean, the last few, I just got a new deck of Would You Rather, so I've just been doing that for the last three, four times. Because you know what? We will, but we will do a little bumper music.
Okay.
A little ditty, and then we'll be back to play Would You Rather.
What would you rather do? Would you rather? Would you rather? Would you rather?
It's a very short little. Would you rather? Very simple. I have a deck of cards that I just recently got. It says, would you rather family card game? Fun questions, hilarious answers, lively conversation. Lindsay Daly, I just see this. So one person wrote all these, I guess. Two players, age. Very simple. Basically, maybe just grab a card and.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, just grab a different one and maybe just ask everyone in the room.
Okay.
If we can manage to catch Jay wandering around, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. He's
I just want to mention, too, Ben, you took a photo of these bracelets. And so my friend Vera was by today and made this sideways bracelet and these other two bracelets. And, yeah, they are in the middle of summer break. When we were talking about summer barely starting, they had mixed feelings about
for people
the
that's
length
in
of summer.
For people in school, they probably, you know, like, it's freaking out as it's only 1 month left or something.
Oh. Right, yeah, exactly.
Panic and, yeah.
So, yeah, I thanks to Vera for these. I think they really brought the... channeled the cosmos right into my wrist here.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Man, have you?
I do have one. Some of them are pretty funny. I've got, would you rather eat a live frog or a mouse?
Oh.
I'm assuming the mouse is also live.
You?
Wait a sec. What was that?
Would you rather eat a live frog or a mouse? And it's not saying
a live mouse.
Well, it's not saying live mouse, so maybe you get your choice of mouse.
Well, who's going to answer this?
Everyone can answer, but okay. I mean, my guests can answer first.
Okay. And those are the only two options.
Yeah,
those
and that's how Would You Rather goes, unfortunately. Think. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, I'd have to go with the frog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... Yeah, I can't imagine biting through fur. You know, because...
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
I think in either way, you're doing, like, a all-in-one, snake.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Just
right.
Unhinging your jaw and just...
Oh, like I usually do.
Yeah. That's what it does.
Because, like, I mean... When I was, live frogs, but like when I was younger, like my mom made like frog legs, and I actually just had frog legs, on Monday night.
So you're like halfway there.
I know. I mean, it's cooked. I don't know about raw one. I feel like it's only thing that scares me is because it tastes like chicken, 100%. So
right.
I mean,
I've had raw chicken. So
isn't that? That's dangerous, isn't it?
So
I was going to say, like, does frog have salmonella? Probably not. It's a different thing, right?
I wonder. Yeah, well, the circumstances that I had raw chicken were in Japan.
Yeah, right.
not the most recent time I
chicken
was there, but
sashimi.
Yeah, I've never had food poisoning like that in my life. Wow.
But you have it.
Oh yeah, oh, I had sick. It, and I was sick for like a week.
Oh man, I was there in Japan. Like, I remember seeing on the menu. I was like, I don't think you're supposed to. And I was like, can we get this? No, and that's not.
My thinking was, I was like, well, what if it's really delicious and I bypass trying it? And then the worst part is that it really wasn't all that good. It was not worth a week of food poisoning.
Yeah.
Wow. And I can't believe that was the outcome, because you would think that would not be the outcome.
I kind of thought that they would maybe take some sort of extra food safety precaution, but I guess not.
Wow. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Oh, it's fine. It's a funny story now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder, like, because I, not being, you know, an actual microbiologist, I don't know exactly how, like, is it even something you can, you know, is it because it's clean or wash? I don't know if any of that.
Right, like, does all chicken always have it if you don't cook it? That's a really good question.
Yeah, and maybe just one of those things you can't tell, like, it's just because it's fresher doesn't mean anything.
But. So, yeah, maybe I'm going mouse.
Yeah.
Well, based on your previous experience, yeah.
Exactly.
I watched this internet thing one time about a warning around washing chicken.
Yeah.
You know, because, and they had like a black light on or something, and you can splash a lot of chicken all around everywhere. Like, you think you're just kind of, you know, like kind of cleansing the meat. But what you're actually doing is you're...
No, I saw that too. Yeah,
you saw. So I'm not.
Yeah, so it's like don't. Yeah, basically they say don't wash the chicken, because like there's no point. Like if it's full of someone, like, you know, you're just splashing it everywhere. You're not going to be washing it off. Like, cooking it is what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, I don't even understand why one would wash the meat, because it's right.
I don't.
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be clean when you're putting it in the pan. Like, what are you washing off?
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you ever had hair on your chicken? If you've,
but I don't think that you can't wash it off, because it's probably still part of the skin or something.
Yeah, like the little pin feathers. Yeah.
So would you, like, what would you do at that point? Pluck the?
Yeah, you would pluck it, or you just meat? You just be like, take the skin, like you just or just pluck it, or just like deal with it. Protein, no, whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
Hair.
Fiber.
Yeah. Fiber. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that would be fiber.
Do,
yeah.
They do say you should get a certain amount of feathers in your diet.
Yeah. So
they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I think.
Great. Okay. Most I'm fine then. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Most people are really deficient in feathers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Jay just walked by, but I don't think that's a question for Jay.
Okay. No. Yeah.
I don't think. I don't think he. Shami, you got one?
I do have one, actually. Would you rather ski blindfolded or snow tube with your hands tied behind your back?
I can't ski to begin with, so I think if I go blindfolded, I'll probably be dead immediately. What's snow tube mean? Like, is it when those, is it those inflatable?
Is it kind of like sledding but in a tube, or is somebody towing you?
I mean, I thought of a, like, kind of a hot dog thing, like putting your body into, like, some sort of...
Oh, like you're wrapped up like a mummy?
Yeah, like some sort of, like, a, what do you call that, Olympic event?
Like a luge?
Thank you, like a luge, a snow tube.
Yeah, I don't know what, I thought snow tube was, like, people tubing in the water, so like a
I'm
little floaty
like a
thing.
Ring.
Yeah, like a ring thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're
but
right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I could
you're
be
probably
wrong.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that you're not doing much with your hands.
Anyways. What can you do?
Very good
so
point.
Yeah.
I think if you were in that situation, if it was a ring and you tried to do something to stop yourself, you're going to break both your wrists anyway. So it's probably safer.
Yeah.
To tie your hands behind your back.
Like. I would take that over, like, skiing normally, just
probably.
My skill level.
No, you're probably onto something.
Well, you can just kind of lay on the tube and let the hill do what it's going to do to you.
I'll,
it like, isn't up to you anymore.
Yeah, I'll roll into, like, a ball and just
exactly.
try to, like, okay. Yeah. I'll just pick one here, and then we'll be a team.
They seem to have themes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I do. So I'm trying to think of which one is the most. Okay.
Thanks for this, Ben.
Thanks, Lindsay. Something, something.
Yeah.
Global outage. Or global
this is hilarious because we just picked this. We just did this last week. What? Okay. Would you rather invent a machine that lets you ride a dinosaur or walk on the moon? That's funny.
Oh, wow.
So a time machine or a spaceship?
Yeah, so like it seemed to be very specific that like so but it's not really but only let you ride a dinosaur. So assuming you can get a dinosaur, I guess.
Yeah, or is it just like, you know what? I mean, not to be that guy, but
no, be that, please be that guy.
Well, I mean, birds are dinosaurs, and so you could just ride an ostrich.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
I am going to visit my parents in Alberta in a couple of weeks. And my mom, I think because the first time I went out to visit them, they live in a very small town about an hour and a half outside of Edmonton. And there's not much to do except go around to all the other local small towns and look at their strange small town museums.
Yeah.
And so I think I had mentioned wanting to go to this museum to my mom, and now she's got it in her head that I really love Alberta Museums. So as we were planning this trip, she's like, okay, I've looked it up. We can go to the Royal Tyrrell Dinosaur Museum. We can go to the museum in Strome. We can go to the museum in Tofield. We can go to the museum in Balf.
Balf.
So maybe I might go to the dinosaur museum.
Okay, I went to the Royal Tyrrell?
Yeah,
museum.
I've been.
Oh, wow.
Recently?
Yeah, I went there 2 years ago.
Okay.
Incredible.
Okay.
Incredible.
It's a big museum, yeah.
I went once as a like a small child, like a dinosaur crazed 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been as an adult.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, I went like 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
It was fun. Yeah. I got a little mug that says, you know, the Royal Tyrrell Museum.
Nice.
Oh, cute.
Nice.
Or not a mug, like a tumbler. What is it?
Oh, yeah, tumbler. Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was stunning.
Which you, yeah. Like, so imagine if you can ride a dinosaur. I don't know. Maybe if they let you just climb on like T-Rex bones. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or walk on the moon. I guess you would probably take walk on the moon.
Well, I mean, that depends if we think that anyone has ever walked on the moon.
Right. This is true, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do we believe that?
Yeah. Or why don't we just say,
not to be that guy right now.
let's all be that guy.
Be that guy?
Or why don't we just, we only have like a couple minutes. So
can we cover an entire conspiracy in a couple of minutes?
I know. That's
maybe if collectively we're that guy, we're working together.
What is the best, like, not offensive, not racist, like, you know, just like a benign kind of fun conspiracy theory you've ever heard?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is, I hope this is appropriate and not offensive, but I mean, the, what do they call that? The, oh my God, the one where you jump from one realm to another,
like quantum leap or something.
Yeah,
right, quantum leaping is real.
Yeah.
That's fun. I always have a ready answer to this one.
Okay.
Do you guys remember when they were trying to legalize cannabis and they had the cannabus? And mm-hmm. So it was like a bus that was driving around BC raising awareness about the idea of legalizing cannabis. I was with Davey and Chris Jan,
mm-hmm.
and they managed to talk the cannabis into giving us a ride to the Astoria.
Oh,
so we
wow.
all got yeah. into the cannabis
yeah.
and got a ride to the Astoria. And the guy driving the cannabis was like, well, you know why people love gold so much? And I was like, oh, please tell me this is going to be so good. He's like, well, it's the only metal that blocks space radiation. Aliens have trained humans to value gold. And so the reason we're stockpiling it is because one day the aliens are going to come back and get all that gold and put it on their spaceships.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Like as a shield to block space radiation. And I was like, huh?
So they kind of built it. All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm gonna look that up.
The Mandela effect was the one I was thinking of.
Oh, sorry. Where like things have changed.
Bernstein versus Bernstein Bears. Yeah. But who cares? Like I love this gold one.
Well, that's why I hoarded all. Good thing I hoarded all this gold.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a stockpile of gold.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't.
I really don't.
I do love my aliens. That is unfortunately we're close to 11 o'clock. We do have to get out of here because copy and paste is coming up next. Estradon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Ben. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay Arner, for sound technicianing.
Thank you, Jay.
And yes, next week we are preempted, but I think it's going to rerun. This studio that you're in right now, it's going to be redone, remodeled. So they're going to take like 3 days, and no live shows, and so I get a break.
Very nice. What are you going to do for your break?
Well, it's that night. I don't know. Maybe
play. Would you rather?
just take would you rather on the road?
Text me.
Just gonna stop on. Yeah, just gonna drive around and just stop people on the get on the cannabis.
I thought that was going to be the conspiracy.
I know. I was like, I know. That's what I thought too. I was like, oh, like what happened to the bus?
Yeah. Well,
is it actually?
Who knows?
It's actually the anti-cannabis. You know, you get on and then they're trying to like, you know, get you off anyway.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was going to be something about cannabis, like it's not helpful or something. Yeah. And I was like, are we going to be that guy?
Yeah. we gotta cut out because the other show might start on top of us. Estradon, thank you.
Thank you.
You can listen to this on CITR.ca on the podcast shortly. So yes, or radiohell.ca. Thank you. I'll be back in 2 weeks.